As if you're just waking up, if I am just alerting you, if you noticed the different version of the Beatles song like I just did and it jarred you up from bed, today is a great day. Wake up. Go make that cup of coffee a little bit happier. Everything's going to taste a little bit better. Everything's going to smell a little bit better. It's August 1st. July is behind us. The losing month of July behind us. And we wake up to a new era for both of these teams. I know we did a lot on the Mets yesterday because they made their two big moves on Wednesday as opposed to waiting for the deadline as they revamped their bullpen as well with Tyler Rogers and Ryan Helsley, excuse me. And we did a lot of that yesterday. They added Cedric Mullins yesterday. So they added Soto, Rogers, and Helsley to go along with Diaz at the back end of that bullpen. And they brought in Cedric Mullins to play center field. An upgrade over Taylor, no doubt. Just as good defensively, a much better bat. A professional hitter, I can tell you as a Yankee fan, someone who is a tough at bat, a hard-nosed player. Just made a great catch yesterday, robbing a home run in Baltimore. So the Mets had a great deadline. They completely went out there, were uber aggressive, and got two legitimately top-end back-of-the-bullpen guys in Rogers and Helsley, and added a center fielder, which they needed, in Mullins. They didn't get a starter. I don't know if they need one. They need guys to pitch more innings. In that case, they need a bullpen. So I think the Mets vastly improved themselves. But yesterday was about Brian Cashman. Yesterday was about all of the apologies Brian Cashman has deserved. Not necessarily for how he's run the team for 30 years or what's gone on since 2009, but for all the people who thought he was asleep at the wheel, nobody cares about winning. Well, the New York Yankees yesterday went out, along with the previous moves they've made of McCann and Rosario and Slater, but they went out yesterday and attacked the bullpen. They brought in David Bednar from Pittsburgh. They brought in Jake Bird from Colorado. They brought in Canelo Doval, the closer out in San Francisco. Three bullpen arms and two really good top-end closer, back-end of the bullpen arms to stabilize this bullpen that has been a disaster for them. And they did it with guys who are under control for the next couple years. Then they add Caballero from the Rays, who had to go from, you know, one side of the field to the other during the rain delay yesterday. He leads the American League in stolen bases. He's under control for the next couple of years. He's got options if they need to send him down when Judge comes back. He can play shortstop if Anthony Volpe continues to throw the ball in the dirt. The New York Yankees went out at this deadline, a deadline that we weren't sure how it was going to operate, right? And that goes for David Stearns, too. Excellent job from both of these GMs. I think that's the story of the day. Both of these teams did a ton to improve themselves and are right there at the top of everybody's list for most successful deadlines of this Major League deadline. Like, it's hard to find teams that did much better than the New York Yankees and the New York Mets in a deadline we weren't sure how it was going to operate, right? A deadline where, you know, it took a while for teams to designate themselves as sellers. Wasn't sure how many teams would be willing to part with different, you know, prospects or different guys. Like, we just, in this new era with the new playoff format, you're just not sure how deadlines are going to go. And this one ended up being fruitful for a lot of teams, including the Yankees and the Mets. And Brian Cashman yesterday went out there and completely reshaped the team. And over the course of this deadline, he got a third baseman. He transformed the bench from Peraza and Vivas into Rosario, Slater, and Caballero. He went out and added three bullpen arms, and two of them are legitimate closers who are under control next year. And he did it all without getting rid of a single name any of us know. The top eighth prospect and the top 10th prospect. He didn't give up Dominguez. He didn't give up Rice. He didn't give up Lombard. He didn't give up Spencer Jones. He didn't give up anybody inside the top seven of the farm system. And he got some of the same level bullpen arms that other teams were giving up massive hauls for. No matter how you want to look at it, no matter what you think of this team, no matter what you think of Brian Cashman in general over the last 25 years, whatever you think of Aaron Boone as the manager, this team went into the deadline, unlike the Mets in many ways, where the Mets are looking to retool. Could use some real high-end bullpen arms, maybe. And that's what they got. Use a center fielder. All right, that's what they got. But ultimately, you know, the Mets are kind of going in looking to just make themselves better and retool a little bit and make themselves more of a playoff threat than they were before the deadline. The Yankees are trying to become functional, as they've been terrible for the last month. They've been terrible for more than that, really. And the roster felt disjointed and mismanaged, and they had all kinds of holes and felt like too many to go fill the deadline. And Brian Cashman went out and got seven different legitimately good players. In a roster that only has 26, he went out and got seven players, a third baseman, three bench pieces, and three legitimate arms for the bullpen that has had a 5+ ERA for the last month. And now that bullpen has four legitimate closing options. If you include Hill, five legitimate arms that you trust in any situation, with any score, at any part of the lineup, in any inning. And that is massively different from where they were before the trade deadline. So Brian Cashman, I know I'm the Cashman shill, I'm the Yankee shill. I run the Yankee postgame show here on WFAN at 4 o'clock in the morning. Today he deserves it. So feel free, I'm taking apologies right here on the Fan. 888-808-1019. We'll take your calls. Mets, Yankees, we mixed in a little bit of football too, as Terry McLaurin demands a trade or asks for a trade out of Washington and how that impacts the New York Giants. A lot of Giant talk on the station yesterday, as the morning show and the afternoon show were live from Giant camp. So any football we could discuss. And then, of course, the Knicks went out and gave Mikal Bridges a contract for $6 million under the max contract, which, believe it or not, really impacts them and keeps them under that apron, under that second apron in this new NBA. And that really helps them make more moves moving forward to try and help this team. They're still looking for one more bench piece, looking for a couple things, and staying under the apron is a massive thing. So a guy that they gave, you know, they traded five first-round picks for in a swap that you knew had to be part of the team, that kind of clashed with Thibodeau, has got a new coach. He signed a new contract. It's a team-friendly deal, if you can believe that, for the money he got, as well as, obviously, Brunson did the same thing last year. And right now, they've improved their bench. They've signed their players. They're still functioning. They still have money under the cap to add more. And right now, you can make the argument they're the most talented team in the Eastern Conference. And now with Bridges locked up, hopefully Brown can kind of unlock his offensive game a little bit. And he could be more of the player he was in Brooklyn than he was for the Knicks last year. And he can be that player defensively he was in the postseason. And someone that obviously they invested a lot of capital in and now looking to invest money in. And hopefully this team can head into its most important season in the last, I don't know, 30 years. With everything, you know, all lined up and giving Brown an opportunity to go out there and make his coaching debut for the Knicks a successful one. So a lot going on. A lot going on. Other trade moves, obviously, inside baseball. I told you how much I enjoyed seeing Correa get traded back to Houston, because I want them. I want those bastards back together. I want revenge. And for the first time all year, now that we know the roster is set, it feels like the Yankees might just be capable of it. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Maury and Belmore. What's up, Maury?
Tonight is your night,
bro. Tonight is my night, bro.
You have been beaten. Abused,
yes,
as the Cashman shill, mm-hmm. And you now will rise in the sunset.
That is right. I'm entitled to this morning. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens when they go get their ass kicked in Miami for 3 days.
But wait till later. And now they won't make the playoffs, and you'll really get it. But no, really, no joke. I mean, what I've been dying for a flamethrower to come out of the bullpen. We got two now.
Yep.
I'm tired of, like, you know, perfection pitchers being our closers. What we need was exactly what we got.
Yeah.
I think Gill coming back. Heel coming back is great, almost like adding a new starter. Look, I was giving up this weekend when you mentioned Cash, you know, Judge being hurt, and I'm like, oh, we got to sell. But what a turnaround by Cashman. And I think somebody just called and said, Chris, you need to get your own show. Hello, everyone. This is his own show. Hello.
I think someone called into the morning show and said that. Yeah. It's here.
Other than that,
if you haven't heard it, and today's my day. Yeah. Today is the day I get to shine. Right. Brian Cashman, whatever you think of him, and I know Maury, you might not be the biggest fan, and I understand that. It's been a long time, and I totally get it. I'll defend him when people make specific points, and I feel he's worth being defended. But the overall theme or the idea that, hey, however good it's been, Chris, to you, it hasn't borne a championship since 2009, yeah. And he's been here for forever. Maybe something new is warranted. That's a very yep. difficult argument for me to really put up much of a fight against. Like, that's a fact. Yeah. But I still think I don't think the game has passed him by. I don't think he's an idiot. No. I don't think he's terrible at his job. And last night and yesterday at this trade deadline, not only did he make smart moves, but look at what other teams paid yeah. for relievers, just like what he got and what he was a. And for a farm system that everybody tells me sucks. Oh, the Yankee yep. farm system's a joke. It's a disaster. It's ranked in the bottom five. Anywhere you look, it's what a joke. They just got seven yep. players to completely turn around their whole team, got a starting third baseman who's already made more impact. Yeah, and all of them outside of Slater and Rosario are under control for next year. They got two yep. legitimate closers in the back end of the bullpen, and it didn't cost a single name on this roster or a single name in the yep. top seven of their farm system. Tell me again how disastrous this entire organization is.
Crow, baby, crow.
That's
it. One other thing.
Yes.
Bridges is saving us $24 million over the next 4 years, which is going to help us sign maybe one or two more players over the next few years. So thank you, Bridges. Now show up, don't throw up, and let's go Knicks. I mean, everything's falling into place today.
Yeah, there's a lot of optimism around here. I'm feeling good. I'm optimistic about our football teams. I don't know how you can't be optimistic, at least on the Knicks, even if you thought the coaching search was a disaster and that ultimately they didn't upgrade at the head coaching position like I do. I'm still optimistic about how good the team can be and how, you know, they're one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference, certainly. And now the two baseball teams really solidified themselves and helped them become much more of a dangerous team the rest of the way. The Mets are in first place by half a game because the Phillies can't get out of their way against the Chicago White Sox, for crying out loud. But they're in first place. They're a dangerous team. They're poised for a second-half run here, as clearly they've impacted the bullpen and the center field situation with Mullins. I do think there's a lot of top-end arms in the rotation. They just aren't going deep into the game. I still think Senga's an excellent pitcher. I think Manaea is an excellent pitcher. I think Peterson is an excellent pitcher. So you got three starters who you feel like every time out are going to, at least at the bare minimum, keep you in a game against any lineup in baseball. You're looking for the fourth starter to kind of declare himself between Clay Holmes and Frankie Montas. And now you've got a bullpen where you feel comfortable where if the issues continue about only a five or, you know, amazingly enough, maybe a six-inning pitcher, that you have enough arms to get the last, you know, 9 to 12 to 15 outs of a game. And the New York Yankees, as bad as they've been and are still chasing the Toronto Blue Jays as they're 3 in the loss column and 3.5 back total, they still currently lead the wild card game by a game and a half over the Boston Red Sox, who did nothing to improve themselves. You look at that team and they finally have like finished out this roster, made it complete. They have as good a bench as they've had. This is probably going to be hyperbole and I got to go through it. But like, you're talking about as good of a bench as they've had since that 90s team. Like, when's the last, like, again, they're not all great players, but they all serve a purpose. They fit. Right? I mean, they all hit left-handed pitching, which has been an issue. They have defense. They have speed. Like, they've got legitimate bench. And then when you include Rice as part of the bench, they've got pop. They've got guys who can pinch hit. They've got guys who can pinch run. And now they have a back end of the bullpen that literally has four arms who've been closers. Devin Williams has been one of the best closers in baseball over the last couple of years, although we haven't necessarily seen that guy, although he's getting better with the New York Yankees, despite his blown save the other night. Weaver was closing for the Yankees in the World Series. And both Bednar and Oval are coming over as closers. So they've shored up the third base position. Like, they've done everything you could have wanted Brian Cashman to do. He had for a team that went into the trade deadline and you weren't sure how they could attack all of their holes at the deadline, Brian Cashman, other than the starting pitcher, which you'd have liked to add one, and they've got Luis Gil coming and making a start on Sunday against Miami, and you're kind of, you know, desperate for him to find himself and be what he was last year when he won Rookie of the Year, because otherwise you're not even sure who's starting game three of a postseason series, and that's definitely an issue. Will Warren has been good. They still have, like I said, Luis Gil coming back, and although I don't put too much faith into it, or too much excitement into it, they did have the lefty starter who's on the IL right now, who made a bunch of starts for them down the stretch. His name is escaping. Ryan Yarbrough. Ryan Yarbrough, waiting to come back, had a stretch of being really successful as a starting pitcher for the Yankees, but I don't know how much you can count on that. And then even Marcus Stroman, who has been better since returning from his injury, but not a great rotation. That's totally fair. You don't even know if you trust Rodon in a big spot. So this didn't, and other teams helped themselves. Like the Mariners went out and got Suarez. You know, the Padres went out and made the best bullpen in baseball even better by getting Mason Miller. So both of these teams still have major competitions. I don't think they've set themselves up to be the clear favorites to either get to the World Series or get back to the World Series in the Yankees' case. But they've made themselves far stronger and far more, you know, situated to get themselves back to being a major postseason threat and major World Series contender. 888-808-1019. Mitchell in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
Big Mac, what else can I tell you?
Let's
go. We'll start it off this. Here we go. Number one, everyone on the fan, between the people that work there, not you, but everyone else, and every caller, everyone complained about my man Cashman. And I always said, you don't want a better GM than Brian Cashman. And Brian Cashman showed everyone yesterday why he is still the Yankees GM, because he gave up nothing and he got you what we needed. That's number one.
Yep.
Number two, we got our third baseman, like you just said, and I've been at two games this week, and he's made some great plays at third base. We got a bullpen now. It's stacked. We got guys coming off the DL. We have a pitching staff. We'll be fine. We have Hill. The one thing that we're just all worrying about is in 10 days or 7 days,
right,
is the big question. Is this the Judge? What's the story with him? Was this a ploy with the Yankees saying that he was not injured that much because if they wanted to get something else? We don't know. Hopefully he'll be back. Hopefully he can just, even if he has to DH for a while, it's fine. Also, you just said 2 minutes ago, we have a bench now. We can actually have a bench, but we need someone off the bench to the bat or the run we have. We didn't have that last year, even in the World Series. We had no bench. So it's the greatest thing. And I was at the game yesterday, Big Mac, and I'm sitting there. I'm looking at the weather. We got the 7-0 lead, and I'm saying to myself, just bunt, get out of this. Let's just get this win. Let's take a win.
Yeah.
And they don't get to it. So we get into the Pepsi Club, and I get a text. I see that we made the trade for Pittsburgh. So I say the whole place went bonkers, and everyone kept on saying, "What's the next move?" So we sat there for 2.5 hours in a Pepsi Club, and it was crazy to sit there. But I did it anyways. I'm happy. Big Mac. We're going to pick a day that when the Yankees come back, we're going to a game, we're going to lock in a day, and we're going to enjoy now the Yankee run. And the best part about for all Yankee fans today is that we have an easy schedule for the next month and a half, going to end of August to September. And they gave everything away, Big Mac. Look who we got to play. You got to play the Twins. Baltimore gave everything away. This is it's our own division to win. It is.
Listen, it's still Toronto's division to win. They're up 3 games in the loss column, and they've earned that by beating the Yankees. But I don't disagree with you. I think you can't tell me. I'm sorry. I know they had a hot streak. You can't tell me that the Toronto Blue Jays are definitively better as a team. They've played that way for the last 3 months, or 2 months where they were really hot and they cooled off a little bit. But they've kicked the crap out of the Yankees. Can't deny it. So I can't tell you it's the division for the Yankees to win. It's still the Blue Jays division until proven otherwise. But you know how I feel about them frauds. So we'll see if they keep that fraud moniker or they change it this year. But you touched on a couple things there I wanted to talk about, because I mentioned it earlier in the show. I didn't mention it there, rehashing the open and everything. But the Anthony Volpe situation, who Brett's on hold here, play through it. And I fully admitted, I think it's a complicated issue. I don't think it's as easy as some do to just sit him down, send him down to the minors, bench him. I think it's a complicated situation. I think he's going through something mentally. I don't know if just banishing him to the minors is what's best for him. I think there's an argument to be made playing through it is what's best for him. I also think that he's been much better offensively, and I wasn't sure how to handle it. And we all admit, and as I'm starting new with the, we're going to put up, like they have signs for how many days accident-free inside, like, you know, factories and warehouses or whatever. We're going to have a days since Anthony Volpe era. And right now, he didn't make an error yesterday. So right now, it's a one. 1 day since the last Anthony Volpe era. So I understand he can't continue to make all these errors. There's no doubt about it. But I think the Yankees with the Caballero trade kind of, you know, let's light a fire under him. Let's see if that's what we can, like, let's get a, I did not expect them to do this. They brought in a legitimate player who can play shortstop. I didn't view Peraza as that. I don't think the Yankees viewed Peraza as that. He is excellent defensively. He's a little bit worse, but relatively close to the same offensive player career-wise that Anthony Volpe has been. He's got speed. He led the American League in stolen bases last year. He leads the American League in stolen bases this year. He is a legitimate threat to Anthony Volpe and someone the Yankees can absolutely maybe give some time off to Anthony Volpe and not play him every day, because we've seen Anthony Volpe the start of the season and after the All-Star break are his best two stretches, and a case can be made it's because he's not as tired playing every day the physical demands of the shortstop position. So I think that's part of it. I think that's how they're going to try and attack this. I don't think they'll send him down, and I don't think they'll full out just bench him. But they now have brought in a player that signals to Anthony Volpe, you might not be playing every day. And we'll see if that makes an impact with him. And then just the idea of, you know, what they gave up. I think that's part of it. They didn't give up a lot. They were able to get a lot of the same caliber pitchers that other teams gave up a ton for. And they did it without really giving up any of the names we know. And anybody inside the top seven inside the farm system, which, again, I think this is not only a vindication for Brian Cashman, again, not for his entire career, and not the idea they haven't won a championship since 09. Today doesn't vindicate that if you're an anti-Cashman guy. That's fair. But vindicates him for the idea that he's incapable of helping the team, or that he's asleep at the wheel, and, you know, it's fallen behind him. He doesn't know how to do this anymore, and all the crap you hear. And then it's also a vindication on the farm system. I think they were able to get stuff for players we didn't think they could get it for. Other teams are giving up the third best prospect in baseball for a guy who throws 100 with a 3 ERA. The Yankees didn't have to give up a top 10 player for that. So I think Brian Cashman had a great day, and we'll see how good the team is from this moment on. But they've got a bench. They've got a legitimately good bullpen with five arms at the back of the pen that you trust implicitly, or at least on paper. Obviously, it's got to come here and actually establish itself in practice. But all we can do right now is judge it on how they've done on paper, and absolute home run. And for both teams, I think to get Rogers and Helsley was an incredibly good haul for the Mets. And I think you talk about the Yankees have like four or five now that you really trust. The Mets have more than that. And the three-headed monster of Diaz, Rogers, and Helsley is every bit as good as outside of San Diego now with the addition of Mason Miller. It's as good a bullpen as there is in baseball. 888-808-1019. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
You're gloating for 4 hours about Cashman's moves.
Have you been listening for 4 hours? Why haven't you called in?
No, I wasn't listening.
You're just making assumptions. That's what
I'm assuming.
We've done a lot of Met talk, too. But I've been very...
All right, fine. All right, you got one nothing.
There you go.
My advice would be to wait until it plays out.
Well, of course.
You know, because you know, he's done way more worse moves than good moves. But I got to get this out quick. The football's officially started. I need the predictions, and I'll give you mine if you want them. But will the Giants make the playoffs?
I'm not doing season predictions now with you at 4:27 in the morning because you dictated it.
It's just an opinion.
I'm going to give the opinion on all this. I'm not doing it right now. I'm not afraid of it. There's a thing called radio where I'm going to do a whole preseason thing where as the season's getting ready to start and give you my thoughts. Not giving it away just because you asked for it. We'll get to it. We will get to it. And the other thing Mitch brought up was Judge. And obviously that goes, we don't know. Yeah, that's right. I brushed right over Brett's call. Back to what Mitch had to say. Judge coming back, it's without question the biggest issue, no doubt, obviously. And we just don't know. I am confident that he's coming back in 10 days. I don't think the Yankees lied about the injury. I don't think it's all, we'll see him in 2 months, and they just wanted a deadline without that hanging over them in negotiations, which I just don't see. He's going to be back relatively soon to hit. The question is, when will he be able to throw and play the outfield? Because right now, Stanton, this might be one of the better stretches of Stanton in a Yankee uniform. That's how good it's been. What is he hitting? Like, Stanton is hitting like 280. When was the last time Giancarlo Stanton hit 280 for the Yankees? Like, look at Stanton's numbers. Stanton right now for the New York Yankees is hitting 270. But still, last year, 233. The year before that, 191. The year before that, 211. You have to go back to 2021, the last time Stanton hit 270. He's hitting 270 with an 855 OPS. And you have to go back to 21, the last time he had an 850 OPS or better. To take him out of the lineup for long stretches because Judge can't play for a month is going to be a major problem for the Yankees. That's something that is going to weigh over this team because they need both of those guys in the lineup. And as long as Judge can't play the outfield, I don't see Stanton doing it. Like, are they really going to put Stanton out in outfield for like 4 or 5 innings? 6 innings maybe? Hope that balls aren't hit to him? Hope he impacts the offense enough where they can get a lead and then bring in someone else for defense? So it's not even his Judge coming back, because I think he's coming back. The question is, when can he play the outfield? Because you got to be careful. You want him back as soon as possible, of course, but you don't want him hurt. You got to make sure that you got to make sure that tendon is safe. You can't allow him to really re-injure it or make it worse or significantly injure himself, because it is kind of a precursor to the UCL. Like, Judge is too important to mess around with. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Quick break. Come back with your calls as we take you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on the Fan. A little bit of a wrestling theme. We played some wrestling music throughout the show. They had Cody Rhodes in here. I don't think that's Cody Rhodes' pants hanging up in here. I'm telling you, I think they're loogies. They got to be loogies. They look like...
What if they are Cody Rhodes' pants?
I don't know.
You gonna take
them off? How much you think Cody Rhodes' pants go on eBay?
I mean, unwashed? Probably a lot.
Yeah, right? Those don't know. Cody Rhodes always wears a suit. Cody Rhodes not wearing some, like, you know, light.
Well, who knows? It was raining.
Jeans. Maybe. I guess maybe.
Maybe that was his rain clothes.
That's how
we could sell it on eBay.
I know Loogie wasn't in studio today. He was down at Giant Camp, but my guess is Loogie.
It can't be Loogie, though.
Why?
Because he wasn't here.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe someone, I don't know. Maybe
you think it's Sal or BT?
Maybe he came here to change clothes before they went down there? I don't know.
And left it in the studio?
Yeah, maybe.
While BT and Sal were on air?
Were they complaining about the pants too?
No, but I'm saying it would have had to have been when they were on air if it was on the way.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Or maybe he left it in here and someone thought it'd be funny just to hang it up.
As like a retired number?
I don't know. It's weird. I don't know why there's pants just hanging up in here, but... That is
a pair of pants.
Oh, no, that's a pair of jeans. I don't know. There's a pair of jeans just hanging up in here.
White jeans, too.
Yeah, like very light colored, almost that light gray kind of.
It is very Tommy, to be fair.
Very Tommy.
I just don't think it's his.
All right. We'll have to find out.
I think it's Cody Rhodes's.
I doubt it's Cody Rhodes.
Do you think we should tweet him?
No.
He won't respond, right?
Probably not. I think he's busy.
What if we attach a picture of your kids on it, too, and say, like, oh, they're big fans?
I could just bring it home and tell them that they're Cody Rhodes' pants.
Do you want me to sign it, Cody Rhodes?
No. Don't ruin the pants. I might want to use them.
Hey, guys, I saw Cody Rhodes, and he didn't have anything else, so I told him to take off his pants and sign
I'd have done the exact same thing. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. We got you another 20 minutes or so as we take you to the warm-up show at 5. A lot, obviously, on the baseball. On the trade deadline, series start tonight. The Yankees head to Miami, and the Mets welcome in the San Francisco Giants, who just had a miserable season. I mean, they get off to a great start this year. They're right there with the Dodgers and Padres. They trade for Rafael Devers, expecting that to really help them, and instead they have sunk like a rock, to the point where they're selling away their best relievers to the New York Yankees and Mets. So they after sweeping them at the beginning of the week, they welcome them back in for a weekend set at Citi Field, and the Yankees will head to Miami for the weekend. 888-808-1019. Paul in Buffalo. What's up, Paul?
Hey, it's a great day to be a Yankee fan.
A great day to be a Yankee fan. A great day to be a Brian Cashman apologist. It's just a great day.
It's always a great day to be a Yankee fan, but especially today. You got me thinking, though, when you talked about Judge coming back and him at the DH.
Yeah.
With Bellinger in left, you can tell him you got to play a big left. Grisham, you're playing right center. You can hide Stanton in right for a week to 10 days. I don't think that's a... Imagine if we had Soto. That would be a disaster if Soto were in left and Grisham.
You're still hung up on this Soto thing, don't you?
I like to dig them up a little bit. I mean,
you got me in trouble. You got me in trouble, by the way, because we talked about it, and I said that he was more impactful to the Yankees than Soto's been to the Mets, and, you know, of course, Yankees-Mets, Digital ran with it, and I'm getting a ton of flack from Met fans.
Well, that's how you know it's hitting them hard, because they know it's true. I look at Bellinger again.
There's
the
no doubt it's true.
He had a couple clutch
There's no doubt it's true. It doesn't mean he's the better player. I still think Soto's the better player, and if I can go back in time, if I were the Yankees, I would still sign Juan Soto. I still feel that way. But there is no doubt. Right now, this particular team, this one season, is better constituted with Bellinger, and Bellinger has had a bigger impact on the Yankees this year than Juan Soto's had on the Mets this year. I don't think and that's not to say he's not a better player. Like, even some of the numbers are better from Juan Soto. He hasn't had a 3-run home run this entire season. He's hitting under 200 runners in scoring position. And Cody Bellinger is carrying the team without Judge and has had a great year. Like, it's just, he's had a really special year for the Yankees.
No, and this could turn out to be Cashman's greatest 365 days of operation, because to go out and get a bunch of fire throwers for the bullpen, that's what you need in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You don't know what these starting pitchers can do, and oftentimes these highly paid starting pitchers don't get it done in the playoffs, and you need to go to your bullpen all the time. And my God, the third baseman, who knows how long he's going to keep this up, but for a guy brought in for his glove, boy, he's hitting the heck out of the ball.
No, it's been one of those things where it feels like, you know, it's amazing, because you're right, Paul. I want to get to other calls, and thank you. You know, we talked about the pivot from Cashman. Like, they started to play terrible baseball. You just can't argue it, right? They've been losing. They lost the division lead. The Yankees have not been good, and they haven't been good defensively, and they've been sloppy, but, like, the pit, like, Goldschmidt's been going downhill, too. But Goldschmidt, overall, for the season, very successful move. For a one-year rental. Now, we'll see if he performs moving forward, and they're going to need him to. But, like, he's been great. Bellinger's been great. Max Fried's been great. Like, all of the different moves. And now you bring in McMahon, like you said, and immediately makes a huge impact. They go out and have a big trade deadline with the rest of it and improve the bench and get the flamethrowers in the bullpen, because you're right, you're looking for swing and miss in the postseason. Now they have multiple guys who throw, you know, they got guys who throw 100 miles an hour. And if you ever throw Cam Schlittler out there, you got another guy who could throw 100 miles an hour in the bullpen. So they have swing and miss stuff, they have high heat, they've got, you know, Cruz who throws the splitter and can get strikeouts, they got Tim Hill who can come in and just throw that sinker and get outs. Like, they got the changeup from Williams. They've got a lot of different elements, and each guy looks a little bit different. I think Cashman's done a really good job. I don't disagree with you. Now they have to go out and play like that, though. They have to go out and play like that. And for the last month and a half, maybe more, you know, 2 months, they just haven't. Spencer in East Windsor, what's up, Spencer?
Well, you know, the thing about the trade deadline for the Yankee crowd, Chris. You know, that in June and July, frustrated by the losing, and would say, this team does not look like a World Series team.
Right.
And that's a legitimate thing to say, but they always seem to left out the fact that the team that we saw in June and July was not going to be the same team that we'd see in
August.
Correct.
We knew there was going to be some spots that they purposely left open to attack at the trade deadline. Like, they were willing to go into third base with, well, let's see what Peraza and Cabrera can do. And then Cabrera gets hurt. And let's see what Peraza and Cabrera and DJ LeMahieu can do. And that didn't work out. They knew they were always going to attack third base at the deadline. I don't think they thought that it would be such a glaring hole that cost them as many games as it did. But we always knew they were going to go and try and do that. You always knew they were going to try and get more relievers in the bullpen at the trade deadline. So, it always, with the New York Yankees, it's always an incomplete roster until August 1st.
It was just the number of trades that really startled me. I'm like you. I like Brian Cashman. I'm not saying that he's flawless. But
of course not.
What he does is it's not just that it's difficult. It's that in order to make these trades, you need to have a partner that will make a trade with you. Sure. And if the other teams aren't going to negotiate, well, then what can a guy do? The trade with the San Francisco Giants, that really blew me away.
Yeah, and it was like at the last minute, too. Like, it came out, you figured they were done, and then all of a sudden you get another 100-mile-an-hour flamethrowing closer from San Francisco. It's like, how did this happen?
Yeah, crazy. You're also watching and thinking, okay, this trade, Dominguez is going to go. Jones is going to go. Okay, we're finally going to hear it. You know, that's a credit to Brian Cashman, because he was able to negotiate these trades and still keep his best players.
I don't think there's any doubt. And I got a break. I'm sorry. Not only that, and he got guys who are under control for next year. In a bullpen right now that's headlined by Weaver and Williams, who might not, if and now maybe won't be, certainly, here next year. They got both Bednar and Duvall are going to be here next year. Like, he got guys under control. He got seven different players. All of them are under control next year outside of Rosario and Slater. And he got them without anybody inside the top seven of the farm system. And none of the names at the major league level. No Grisham, no Rice, no Goldschmidt, no Dominguez. Like, I don't know how you're not... He had an incredible deadline. Now they've got to go out and make it stick and become the team we hope they can become. But, I mean, Brian Cashman put on a masterclass. And I'm not ashamed to say it. What a good day. What a good day. Zoo, it was just a good day, you know?
Great.
It's a good day.
Phenomenal.
It's Friday. My weekend starts in 15 minutes.
Fantastic.
It's a good day.
Wonderful.
Just a good day. All right, quick break. We'll come back and take your calls. Rapid fire style?
Amazing.
Amazing. What a good day. We'll be back after this. As we get SummerSlam, we had all these wrestlers coming in. I was listening to BT and Sal talk to Triple H. Paul Levesque about the new show and SummerSlam here at MetLife Stadium. The show is really good. If you are a wrestling fan, watch the Unreal documentary on Netflix. It's excellent. It is fascinating to see how much goes into it behind the scenes. 888-808-1019. Me and Fleegs were just talking. You could argue that the Mets and Yankees, Stearns and Cashman, you know, pound for pound, what they got for what they gave up, probably had the best deadlines. You could argue the Mets and Yankees had the best deadlines of the season. Like, they had the two best deadlines for what, when you consider what they gave up for what they got. I mean, especially the Yankees. I'm sorry. I'm not to give one. I know I'm a Yankee fan. You're going to see it that way. I think the Mets did a great job. But the Yankees in particular, to not give up almost anything to get seven players that impact them. All seven impact them. Now, they're not superstars, but seven impact players are two legitimately back end of the bullpen arms. That's to not give up any of the names we were all fearful they were going to have to give up. It was both GM Stearns and Cashman really did well this trade deadline. There's no doubt. And both these teams should be lined up to go chase this thing. Tim in Hicksville, what's up, Tim?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Cashman, he's always been good. I mean, I'm a Mets fan, but I've been following baseball since whenever, mm-hmm. but he's amazing. He's always been a good GM. But Stearns had a fantastic deadline. I absolutely loved what he did.
Yep.
You know, I mean, giving up Drew Gilbert was a little tough, but they had to get. I love the diversity in the bullpen. Looks like Holmes is going to go to the bullpen. You know, in the playoffs, his days off, heavily leveraged on the bullpen. Love the bullpen. Love what he did. You know, basically, they're both they're tailored for the playoffs. I think.
Bullpens have become so important. Job. Yeah, I mean, bullpen. Thank you for the call. Bullpens have become so important come playoff time, and now they have legitimate arms to get outs late in the game. Guys that you feel can pitch against lefties, righties, any situation. You know, if you have to bring in Diaz early to get a huge out, you have no problem then closing the game or getting into extra innings with these guys. Like, this is no doubt. And, you know, Fleegs also said to me, which I haven't played up much because I don't think anyone honestly believed it, but the idea that there was actually conversation, and I know maybe last Saturday I became, you know, public for it a little bit because I had Dave Sims on. and just went through it. But in the moment, that was the only time for speculation on Sale. The only time that was legitimate, and I, you know, maybe it's just as my bias of, you know, me. There was a 2-hour period where it was fair to speculate about whether or not the Yankees were going to sell. That's it. And I happened to be on the air for those 2 hours. When Judge was hurt and Brian Cashman just said, when Boone just said, well, he's getting some imaging, it's his elbow, he couldn't throw yesterday. And the fear was the fear that he was gone for the year. That was the only time to speculate on whether or not the Yankees were going to sell. The minute Judge was coming back, it was ridiculous to even suggest that the Yankees would consider selling. In that moment, it made sense because they have so many guys. The roster is uniquely set for it. Like, you got Grisham, who's not coming back, having a good year. You got even Cody Bellinger, who can opt out of his contract. They don't have control of him, having an incredible year. Devin Williams, top reliever, not having an incredible year, but I think everybody would still believe in him, and the Yankees probably don't have an intention of bringing him back. Like, there were so many pieces that were easy sell pieces that made sense to sell that when you thought maybe Judge wasn't coming back, okay, it's a discussion, but once he was coming back, they're going to go for it. That's what the Yankees do. And they didn't even sell Grisham for something else or move Goldschmidt for something else. They kept everybody, and I'm glad. Grisham has been too good to move. Like, this team is now set up. They are deeper than they've been in the lineup. The bench is deeper. The bullpen's deeper. Like, everything other than the rotation. And that is important, and they're going to have to figure out a way. And Luis Gil now becomes, like, you want to talk about the most important Yankee? You can make a case right now, the most important Yankee moving forward is Luis Gil. And what kind of starting pitcher he's going to be makes his debut on Sunday. That's a big game for the New York Yankees to see how Luis Gil, coming back from the strained trap, how he's going to do. And for the Mets, you've got a rotation that you believe in. It's just a matter of how deep can they go. The 1-3 is locked in, and 4, there's a legitimate competition between Clay Holmes and Frankie Montas that you're fine with. If one of those guys step up and take the job, you'll be fine with those 4. The issue is they don't go deep into games, and you need the bullpen, and that's why Stearns went out and aggressively brought in 2 of the better relievers available, and 2 of the better relievers moved at the deadline. And you got someone now who can play center field better than Taylor, at least defensively the same as Taylor, but obviously a better player. You don't have to play guys out of position in center field, and you feel a little bit better about the roster. You have more options there, and the bullpen's deeper. Both teams really solidifying themselves for better versions of their team heading into the postseason, and hopefully both teams make it. The Mets are in first place by 0.5 games. The Yankees are down 3.5 in the division, but up 1.5 games on the wild card. Or actually more than that, up 2.5 out of being a playoff team. Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, great. Thanks for getting me in. Appreciate
you
it.
Got you it, buddy. I appreciate it. What's up?
Do you know what the biggest challenge for the Giants are going to be this year?
What's the biggest challenge for the Giants? I don't know. Their offensive line, themselves.
Yes, offensive line. Oh, yeah, offensive line. Mm-hmm. Now, Pro Football Focus, which is a pretty reputable organization, right? They have them rated number 28. I think that might be a little bit of a problem. If they can get
the offensive line? Yeah, I mean, listen, if Andrew Thomas is healthy, I believe they're better than that. We'll see if Evan Neal can transition into guard. I think they have a chance to be a much better unit, but I don't disagree. I mean, unfortunately, the same old song with this franchise. That offensive line is going to be worth watching, and if they can't block, it's hard to do anything else offensively. So it's going to be important that offensive line has a good year. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Big Zoo. Enjoy your weekend. I'll talk to you tomorrow, 9 a.m. Talk to you Saturday morning at 9 a.m. as we usually do. But a great deadline. Enjoy the rest of the day. Sports Radio 101.